Today, I have the pleasure to be interviewing Malit Chal and Samuel Banti. Malit and Samuel are former refugees from the Kakuma refugee camp in Kenya. Malit is originally from southern Sudan, and Samuel is originally from Ethiopia. And they're both University of Guelph students. They're organizers with World University Services Canada. Is there anything else you want to say about yourselves?
I came through World Scholarship Canada, which is WISC.
Oh, you did.
World Scholarship Canada is a scholarship program which gives scholarship opportunities for students who are in a refugee camp. And that's an opportunity that I got to come to Canada.
Can you talk about having lived in the Kakuma refugee camp?
The life in a refugee camp is one of the most. The life in a refugee camp is really difficult. There is a lot of violence. There is a lot of lack of resources. There is a lot of
Like food and water.
food and water. A lack of food and water. There is a lot of that, and there is a lot of violences, and most girls engage in child labor. Excessive child labor, child prostitution, and stuff like that, which is really bad. And especially girls in a refugee camp find it very difficult to live because they are prone to child labor and violence, and they find it really hard to survive there. And they get married early. They had to do that so that the society demands that, the culture. And
At what age is the average?
the age is like 16, 15.
And what's the earliest age
The
that you
earliest, I
know
think
of?
my friend can talk about that a lot
Okay.
than I do. But the earliest, I mean, like above 12, it's not like, it's not the man is trying to abuse the girl. It's part of the what is there. So that is the thing. And they really find it very hard to overcome life because they get stuck in these kind of things. And the refugee camp by itself is really hard, and not to get education in a refugee camp is another problem for them. Like if they go to school, at least there might be a solution, but for them now. So the girls are more vulnerable to different kinds of problem.
Is it hard for everyone to have education, but especially the girls? So it's hard for everyone.
There is educational facilities which is provided by different NGOs,
NGOs, yeah.
like LWF, Lutheran World Federation. But the educational facilities, they don't have the basic educational facility. There is a lack of classroom, there is a lack of books and the basic materials educational facility needs. The problem in the refugee camp is there are some schools. In the university, there are elementary schools and high schools in a refugee camp, but especially girls, they find it really hard to go to the school because they have to help the household by like collecting firewood or selling, by engaging in child labor so that to provide more oil or more food to the household. So girls don't usually go to school, but even if they do, they don't have time to study because they get, after school they do what they always do to provide the household with extra money. So they do that, and they don't have there is no electricity in a refugee camp. So the educational system, even if it is there, it's the girls really find it really, really hard to maintain, that educational standard or educational grade, which will take them somewhere or will enable them to win a scholarship program to come to Canada or to integrate to the local Kenya community.
Can you talk a bit more about your experience? What was your living experience like day to day, and like the type of labor that you were forced to do, or anything like that?
My life in a refugee camp was, it's very hard to put it in one term.
Yeah.
It was really, really difficult. Every day is a struggle to survive. Every day, poses danger, every day poses a threat to life. There is a lot of malaria. Malaria is common in a refugee camp, and I was sick 3 times in hospital because of malaria. There are scorpions, and life is as hard as it gets in a refugee camp. What I was doing every day is surviving, trying to survive every day, and at the same time looking for solution to God from that place. And that's when finally, after living in a refugee camp for 5 years, I managed to win a scholarship program and to come to study in Canada.
Malit, would you like to share your story of living in a refugee camp and maybe why you were in a refugee camp?
My name is Malit Chol, and I'm a former refugee from Kakuma refugee camp. To me, life was normal until the year 1991, when I first get a first-hand experience of technology. And the first-hand experience of technology was the sound of a gunshot. That is a really weird way to be introduced to technology, as it is common, contrary to what technology meant to most of the people here in Canada. And that sound of a gunshot, I flee from my cattle, my goats, the peace that I enjoy. And my life thereafter was life of fear, escape, and walking was a lifestyle I would walk on daily basis. I never knew that there was another way of life other than walking and running away from someone running after me. And when I settled at Kakuma refugee camp, I expected peace, and I had a lot of expectations. But when I arrived at the refugee camp, I had to force myself to scale down some of my expectations. One of the expectations that I scaled down was peace, because after some time, it was a regular routine to be attacked by the local, and who were equally frustrated as myself, because they live in a desert. Where they are, they cannot cultivate. The animals are dying because of drought, and they try to find many solutions to their problem, and they find attacking me to get my food as one of their solutions. One of my expectations that was fulfilled while in the refugee camp was education. I was lucky enough to access the scanty education that Lutheran World Federation provided. The education for boys, it favors boys. Education in the camp favors boys than girls. Girls in the community that I come from, they are the ones who fetch water, and water has to be fetched within a certain period of time. That is when it is, because water is rationed in the refugee camp. They have to cook for the family members. They have to do all kind of work when the boys enjoy the luxury of studying in the camp. So Lutheran World Federation has tried to educate the children in the refugee camp, but the least beneficiaries are the girls. And that's why WASC, which is the organization that sponsored me to come and study in Canada, has come up with a program called Shine the Light, and is reaching out to those girls so that they may access education, so that to level up with the boys.
Do you want to talk a bit more about the living conditions within the camp?
To me, the poor living standard in the refugee camp was not of very concern to me, because I knew why, and although someone made me to flee from my country, to me, life every day in the camp was, I felt it was temporary, because I was full of hope that one day, one time, I will have the chance to go back to my country and to continue cultivating my land and maybe raise cattle. That was the hope that I live with every day. Otherwise, if you concentrate on the living standard, if you think about the daily life that you go through, the hunger, the sickness, there are high chances. And if you don't have a hope beyond your problem while living in the refugee camp, there are very high chances that you might lose your mind and even lose focus on what is important in life. As I speak today, I am not bitter for what I went through. Studying and the program that brought to me, I would say it has changed me, and I'm feeling a sense of responsibility to give back to the same people who chased me away from my home country, the reason why I had to flee to Kenya and live for 14 years in Kenya. I spent my entire childhood in Kenya when I should have spent it where I was born.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about the selection process in the camp for the student refugee program? The selection process where that men are more likely to be accepted in the student refugee program?
The United Nations has a lot of solutions for the refugees. And a few refugees, usually they are resettled. All the refugees are in the camp because of humanitarian reasons. But there are others that are of more concern that they are resettled to other countries. While in the real sense, if we are to resettle the refugees based on humanitarian, they all qualify. So because the countries that is sponsors or that they cannot migrate, they cannot resettle everyone in the refugee camp. That's why some are selected and be resettled in other countries. I was fortunate enough to be resettled here in Canada through the World University Service of Canada, that the program that sponsors refugee students to study in Canadian universities all over the world.
And I was wondering, can you talk about the camp conditions that inhibit girls to have an optimum education, like girls only being able to find time to study after dark, the camp electricity for lighting? They lack it. Do you think this kind of the part of the African culture that's really patriarchal and condescending to women, was it passed on after the beginnings of colonization on the African people?
It starts with the many cultures in Africa. Like, I love African culture. I'm from Africa. But there are some cultures that I don't like about Africa, which is the idea that a woman has to stay in the house and do a lot of stuff when the man goes to outside. And that comes to, imagine that coming to the refugee camp where there is no resource, where woman has to struggle to survive. Mm-hmm. A woman in a refugee camp has to struggle, or a girl has to struggle to survive in a refugee camp. But because resources are so limited and there is so much violence, they are the victim of it. I just want to highlight that it's not that the girl is there, they don't want to change their life, but it is a situation that makes them so vulnerable. And talking about why they don't go to school, because it is a woman and the girl's responsibility to stay at home and provide the household with extra food and firewood. I mean, people say it is a man's job to do the hunting, but there is no hunting in Kagoma refugee camp. So the woman usually engaged doing that, fetching the water and stuff like that. So you don't find girls in high school which are doing really good, because they haven't been doing really good since the beginning. They haven't been doing really good because they have been most of the time away from school, or if they go to school, after school what they do is fetch water, provide the family with additional thing, so they have to like look for food and stuff. Like they are the victim of abuse, child labor, and there is child prostitution too in a refugee camp. So they are the victim of this. They pass this in elementary school or when they are when they are in grade 9 and in grade 10. I mean, we can't expect girls to be in grade 12 and doing as good as a male student can do. But the general thing is the whole culture in the society favors a male more than a woman. And when you take that to the refugee camp, it's even worse. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. the problem.
What are both your experiences in immigrating to Canada? What kind of barriers do you know of that people face for them to be able to immigrate out of Kenya, and or the difficulties they might face in order to immigrate into Canada? You mentioned being a girl, talking about the situation of girls having lack of education in the camp, but what else is there? Like, is there also other barriers, like the lower the education you have and then the lower economic status you have?
Yeah, the other thing is there are, for example, in Kakuma refugee camp, there are more than 50,000 refugees.
Yeah, he was saying 90,000.
Is it at this time? I think it's
when
like
I left the last.
When did you leave?
2008. It keeps fluctuating, see?
Okay.
Yeah. It keeps changing because more are coming and more are leaving.
So, answering your question, there are, at this time, there are more than 50,000 refugees.
Mm-hmm.
But not all refugees get a solution.
Yeah. How many people, on average, are able to find refuge in another country?
Okay, on average, for example, let's say it was most people repatriate when if the country situation is better.
Mm-hmm.
It's not immigrating refugees to Canada and to Australia or to the United States or European countries doesn't happen often, or not many countries take people away from the refugee camp unless you have a relative to get reunite. And people stay in a refugee camp for 15 years. People stay in a refugee camp for 15 years and 10 years and 5 years. It shows you that no one is willing to take them unless they are capable of getting a scholarship program like this, or if they have a relative. That is the only solution to go out from, unless they go back to the problem that they were facing.
Mm-hmm.
So refugees stay in a refugee camp. There is no solution. Like the solution is so rare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the likes of Bantu, Bantu is a tribe in Somalia.
Mm-hmm.
So Bantu is a tribe in Somalia, mm-hmm. and they were forced to leave Somalia because they were a minority and they were abused.
Mm-hmm.
So any country would not accept them. So United States accepted them. Mm-hmm. That's a special case. But for an individual refugee who has an individual case, your case has to be verified.
Mm-hmm.
What you brought to the refugee camp has to be verified, and not a lot of time you get a solution to go out from that place. So that's why people stay there like forever in a refugee camp.
Mm-hmm. How many people were at the camp that you lived in?
From between 80 to 90,000.
Wow. Yeah. And how long did both of you stay in the camp?
I have lived in Kenya for 14 years.
And what about Samuel?
I was there in 4 or 5 years.
Okay. Finding refuge in Canada, how has it been for you? How has it changed from living in the Kakuma refugee camp and then coming here?
It's good, but at the same time there are a cultural shock, mm-hmm. which everyone faces, and mend, my friend Malis are not with our parents or family here, so life is not easy here either. And but we know now we have the opportunity to educate ourselves and, you know, create a solution in our life. Mm-hmm. We are trying to do that, but at the same time, it's never easy. It's never easy. We live by ourselves. We don't have our parents here. Mm-hmm. We don't have our relatives here. So we, the family situation we create is from each other. We inspire each other and we are friends. That's how we stick together and that's how we live. So I don't want people, just because we came to Canada, life is completely easy. No, I mean, we have the thing that we didn't have in a refugee camp: the education, the food, and the house. But a human being needs more than that. Mm-hmm. A human being needs a family. A human being needs a healthy relationship to grow spiritually. So it's a challenge here too, but we have been to challenge, so we are not afraid of it. So we're just moving on.
Do you want to talk about what being a refugee means to you? How it changed from when you were living in the Kakuma refugee camp and then living in Canada?
While in the refugee camp, my desire ever since I settled in the refugee camp had always been to go back home. And if I have skills to make a difference in the lives of people that I was born with. And that dream has not changed even when I came to Canada. My desires are still the same. What makes the difference now is that I'll not be going home empty-handed in future. I'm hoping to acquire skills here at the University of Guelph to bring clean water to the people of Southern Sudan.
Well, that's fantastic.
When I resettled to Canada, when I arrived here in Canada, how the life was, to me, if I try to compare myself with others, I would say that it could have been much harder if I never had the support of the local committee members of the University of Guelph, my church members, and former students, and also current sponsored students. So they actually made my life easy and helped me to integrate quickly to the Canadian society. However, nobody will experience the culture shock on my behalf. I had to do it myself. There's something that I had to discover by doing, that I had to go through. Some of my expectations that didn't match with what I expectation. But all in all, I will say that my experience in Canada was made easier by the people I met.
Earlier, well, you mentioned overcoming difficulties by having a consistent sense of hope and knowing that it's urgent, that actions are needed, and not dwelling upon blame. So can you talk more about how you don't let difficulties let you down?
There are many professionals who stood against oppressive government and they stood for human rights. And these people, while in their respective countries, they were educated and they came with their documents in the refugee camp. Some of them were teachers, others were professionals in different fields. These people, when they come to the refugee camp, they find it particularly hard for them to adapt to the new life of being fed, and they are used to feeding people. So when these professionals and even others, when they dwell upon the problem that they are in, there are very high chances that they may lose their mind. Some of them may find themselves in mental hospitals. But if personally, as an individual, I never dwelt in my present while in the camp. I focus a lot on my future, and the future is now with me here, with the potential of giving back to my people what they expect of me.
Mm-hmm. What do you see is needed? What kind of actions is needed within this struggle to create real liberation for people in Africa, all beings in Africa?
The major problem as we speak in Africa is all centered on poverty, what is causing poverty, because even when you have the strength and if you are in constant fear and you are running, there are very limited chances that you will settle and cultivate your rich agricultural land. So to address the problem of poverty, there are very many well-wishers who have been donating money to help many African countries. But to me, what I think will be the best will be for the developed countries to invest in Africa, to employ people, and to invest in the human resource, and also to help the government build infrastructures. But investment in Africa will help both the developed countries and it will also help the African, because this is self-sustaining and is what most of the energetic people need.
What do you feel is needed? What kind of actions to create liberation for the people in Africa? What do you think people should be doing? You guys can talk about the education, that aspect of creating...
As a whole in Africa, what African... By the way, like, talking about Africa, what really makes me happy about Africa right now is people know that, especially the young generation, is fed up with the crap that donation changes Africa. We know that donation will not change Africa. People wanna sustain themselves. People wanna work and help themselves. But the thing is, there is so much political interest in Africa. There is so much political interest in Africa, and Africa resource has been used for a long time for the benefit of other people, not for the African people. And many African countries' leaders are appointed by other governments for their interest, they are not democratically elected. So that's the problem. But now African generation, they know that that's not the way to go forward. They know that. But do we need help? Yeah, we need help. But we need a kind of help that some kind of genuine project designed in Africa to help Africans, such as like a microfinance organization in Africa, will help a lot, so that people will help themselves instead of you help them every day throughout their own like adult life and help them. No. And things will change. Things will certainly change. Like, nothing lasts forever. It seems like it's lasting forever. Things will change because now things are progressing, because people are getting more education. People are aware of the problem. The basic problem to everything is poverty. It's poverty. Like, where there is poverty, it is the fittest who tries to survive. It's poverty. It depends on how you look at it. Like, do you look at it from the base of the triangle, or do you look at it from the edge of the triangle? I look at things from the tip of the triangle. Like, if people look at it from the base of the triangle, it's different. But I look at it from a poor nation, like where people suffer. And the only way things can change is when a woman and girls get empowered in Africa. Okay. I mean, I think it's just time for the world to wake up and look at Africa. So the solution to Africa and to refugee camps is to empower women. Half of the society is unproductive in Africa. Half of the society is unproductive. If we empower them and send them to school,
things will be better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you both now want to talk about, you guys are both part of organizing the Shine a Light project?
Yeah.
So you want to talk about WUSC, and which stands for?
Like World Leader Universities Canada?
Or Service. Yeah. Service of Canada.
Okay.
Do you want to just briefly talk about the Shine a Light campaign?
The World University Service of Canada realized that it had been sponsoring more boys than girls for the last many years. So they decided to come up with a program called Shine the Light. And this program targets girls in refugee camps who cannot compete with boys because of cultural barriers. Because most refugees, they migrate with their cultures to the refugee camp. So during daytime, girls often fetch water, cook for the family when they had just come from school and never find time to do homework. So Shine the Light currently has already spent $10,000 to buy lamps for girls so that they could study at night. And that program still is in dire need of funding, because they are extending it to scholarship to sponsor girls outside the refugee camp so that they can be isolated from the community. And if they are isolated from the community, they will have time to think about what is important, and that is education, because lack of education is one prime reason why they cannot speak for themselves. It is only when we educate them that we can empower them. And once we break that cycle of illiteracy, other girls will find it easier to study, because they will have people who are already their role model. People will be speaking for them. And when you educate a woman, it's like you have educated the whole society, because women in general are compassionate and they are not oppressive. And the people who are being oppressed in the society are the girls. And if we educate the mothers, there are high chances that we'll have solved the problem, if a lack of education is actually the root cause of a problem. That is why we are targeting these girls who do housework, as we spend time doing housework instead of studying, when boys are enjoying the pleasure of studying. Therefore, they cannot compete when opportunities like World University Service of Canada sponsors as refugees every year to come and study in Kenya. So if the foundation is wrong, there are very limited chances that they will compete at the high school level with boys. So we want to start that foundation now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you for having us here.
Thank you.